When a client says, well, can't we just do a one-time project? That's like saying, can I just go to the gym once and be in shape forever? No, you can't, right? It's an ongoing thing. It requires constant maintenance and tweaking and optimization. You can just do a one-time project, but what happens in 3 months when your competitors launch a new website and start outranking you or start running better ads or start producing better content? Welcome to the Agency Hour podcast, where we help web design and digital agency owners create abundance for themselves, their teams, and their communities. This week, we're breaking down the roadmap to add 20 grand in monthly recurring revenue to your agency. Now, maybe you're already doing 20K a month in recurring. That's great. Maybe you're already 100 a month in recurring. An additional 20K a month in recurring is going to be helpful. And if you're just starting out or you're already a seven-figure agency, this episode, we're going to break down exactly how to add another 20K in monthly recurring revenue without working more hours or constantly chasing new clients. We're going to cover why most agencies struggle to grow recurring revenue and give you a step-by-step plan to transition from unpredictable projects to reliable recurring income. So if you're looking to escape the feast or famine cycle, create predictable revenue and build a business that gives you freedom, or if you're just looking to accelerate your existing recurring revenue, then this episode is for you. Most agencies are stuck in a never-ending hustle of sign a project, deliver it, and hope that you can deliver what you've promised, whether it's a web design project or whether it's a new SEO client or a new ad management client. You sign a client on, you hope that you can deliver what you've promised, and you hope that you can meet and exceed their expectations. And then you panic because there's nothing lined up in the pipeline and you have to go and find another client. So we're just going to fix that, right? And if you are in the business of selling SEO and paid ads on a retainer, there's something in this episode for you too. And I'm hopefully going to shift your thinking away from retainers. And I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't be selling retainers or ad management fees or SEO for $1,000 a month. So here's the thing. If you're still relying on one-off projects, your business is very vulnerable, right? And as I said, if you're SEO or a paid ad business and you're selling retainers, your business is very vulnerable. And I'll talk about that in a moment. The solution is obviously more monthly recurring revenue and contracted monthly recurring revenue, but most agencies get this completely wrong. The first, I just want to talk a little bit about if you're not profitable with recurring revenue from the first of the month, if you wake up on the first of the month and you know I've got X amount of expenses that I need to meet this month, whether it's just you and a couple of freelancers or whether you have a team of 15 and you've got payroll and you've got rent and you've got insurance and legal and accounting, if you know what your expenses are every month and you don't have at least that much recurring revenue to cover your expenses at the start of every month, then chances are you're waking up in a little bit of a panic. And I remember the first time I had money fall into my bank account while I was asleep. I woke up in the morning and there was a notification on my phone. My girlfriend, who is now my wife, was waking up next to me, and I sat up in bed and I said, oh my God, someone's put money into my bank account while I was asleep. And it was an absolute life-changing experience, right? In fact, I kind of did this little happy dance in bed, sitting up in bed. I kind of went, money while we sleep, money while we sleep. And it was the first time I'd experienced it. And what I realized is that there was so much leverage in that business model. There are so many things I didn't have to do to get that money. I didn't have to create an invoice. I didn't have to send the invoice. I didn't have to ring the client and remind them because I had their payment details on file. They had signed up. They had put their payment details in on the other side of the world. The money went into my bank account and the money went into my bank account every month from that client. Now, that was a WordPress plugin that we were selling at the time. But the reason I tell you that story is because if you don't have revenue, money, other people's money automatically being deposited into your bank account, then that's the first thing I want you to fix, right? There's so much waste in the traditional business model of doing work for a client, sending them an invoice and then chasing them to get paid, right? There's so much waste in that. You can actually offer your clients the same service at a cheaper price if they're just paying you on an automatic subscription because you don't need to raise an invoice. You know, your payment processor like Stripe will just do that automatically. You set it up once and schedule it. You don't need to chase them for money because Stripe is just going to charge their credit card every month and put that money into your bank account. And so therefore, you can pass on those admin savings to your client, right? So I just want to kind of set the scene for you that if you've never experienced that, get your head around and just imagine what it will be like when other people's money automatically gets deposited into your bank account without you thinking about it, right? It's just on autopilot. All right, now I want to look at some of the common reasons that agencies struggle to grow their recurring revenue and where they get it wrong. First is agencies, I believe, get stuck in this feast or famine cycle where, and this is particularly for agencies that do project work. So I'm talking here about branding agencies, web design, web development agencies, even, you know, conversion rate optimization agencies might take on a project for 4 months and then that project might expire, right? Content agencies might do a content sprint for 4 months and then it expires. Even ad management companies who are on, and SEO companies who are on retainers, which I'll talk about in a moment, the life expectancy of one of those clients is about 6 months, right? That's the average global life expectancy, lifetime expectancy of a SEO or ad management client is about 6 months, which is terrible. We'll talk a little bit more about how to fix that. So the project kind of feast or famine cycle, as I said, means that you start every month at zero, you're chasing new business instead of compounding revenue, and you're spending so much time trying to find new leads, trying to have more conversations, trying to sell more projects that you don't actually have the mental bandwidth all the time to take a minute, step back and think about how I can package up what I do into an ongoing recurring revenue business model. So just being stuck in that feast or famine cycle is the first trap that I see most agencies fall into. And the second is retainers, right? Retainers, the problem with retainers, whether you're doing, you know, care plans for websites, whether you're doing ad management or SEO, or whether you're a design agency and you're on a retainer and you're selling hours per month, the problem with retainers is that it's effectively time for money and you're constantly having to justify why your hourly rate is X amount. We're $150 an hour, you buy 10 hours a month, it's $1,500 a month. Well, hang on, why are you $150 an hour where I can get it cheaper over here? Okay. And the problem with retainers, and we had an agency that we worked with in Mavericks Club last year, who's still with us. They've been with us for about 3 or 4 years now, but last year they went through this challenge with one of their clients where they were selling retainers and the client was just giving their team all this work. And the agency owner was looking at this from a strategic point of view and saying, why are they giving this work to my team? There's all this technical debt that the client's now building into the business. They're using different platforms for different microsites and landing pages. And so she went to the client and said, look, I think what you're missing here is the strategy. I think what you're missing here is a technical strategist to help you figure this stuff out before you give my team the work. And if we get that right, you'll actually get more efficiency and more productivity out of my team because you'll be giving them the right work rather than just throwing stuff at them and then having to try and fix it because the client didn't have a technical strategist in-house. So the client didn't have the skills to make those decisions before just farming out the work to the block of hours that they'd bought from the agency's team, right? And so if your retainer isn't helping your clients actually grow and achieve their goals, then you're selling the wrong thing. The other, as I've kind of hinted, the problem with retainers is that you're selling time instead of outcomes, right? And so if your retainer pricing is based on hours, you're just an extension of their team. You're another employee as far as the client's concerned, just an employee that they don't want to hire. They don't want the responsibility of hiring another employee and they don't want the risk of hiring another employee. So they just hire you instead. You're not really a growth partner. You're just an extension of their team. And so the shift from hourly to value-based pricing is something that I think we should all understand. How do we price what we're doing based on the value of it rather than the hourly rate? And for example, clients will happily pay you $5,000 a month if they're making $50,000 a month from your service. And I know that seems obvious, but if you haven't had a conversation with your client about how much they're benefiting from the work that you're doing, then that's the first conversation that you need to have so that you can understand and quantify the value of the work that you're providing the clients, right? Selling based on an hourly rate is just lazy. And I think that's why a lot of agencies get stuck there, because that's where they start out and then they don't have the kahunas to, you know, switch to value-based pricing. The other challenge is that agencies might just sell projects or retainers because the sales process is kind of pretty easy, right? We know how to do that. Whereas you don't know how to sell a growth plan. You don't know how to position yourself as a growth partner. And so selling a retainer to a client is fairly easy because the client understands what a retainer is. It's time for money. It's a block of hours. You understand what it is. So you don't really need to have a big education piece or a big conversation about that because everyone knows what it is. Same with the project, right? Here's what we're going to do. It's going to take this long. It's going to cost this much. Whereas selling growth plans or growth partnerships, which I'll talk about in a moment, does require a bigger, deeper conversation where you need to educate your client and you actually need to not convince, but you do need to sell the client on working with you over a long period of time. I'll talk a little bit more about this during the episode and kind of give you some ideas and some starting points here. But I think just looking at your current sales process and being prepared to either burn it to the ground and start afresh or gradually change it one thing at a time is important. If you want to sell something different to your clients, you need to have a different conversation with them. You know, the other challenge the other mistake I see agencies making is that they sell a project for 15 grand or 30 grand, and then they sell maintenance for that for, you know, $150 a month. And it's kind of backwards, right? I think if you're dealing with a new client where there's not a huge amount of trust in the relationship, you should sell something smaller on the front end and then sell something bigger on the back end. Because convincing a stranger to spend $20,000 on a website is pretty tricky. And that's why globally the conversion rate of web design proposals, and I've studied this because I know all the guys that run the web design proposal softwares. In fact, our web proposal template is included in most of those softwares because I've done deals with them over the years. And I know they tell me that globally, the average conversion rate of a web design proposal is about 25 to 40%, which is okay, but I don't want to spend time talking to 10 people to convert two or three clients, right? I was talking to an agency in Sydney recently, does about $2 million a year in revenue, has 15 staff and fancy new office and has 9 proposals in the inbox. And each proposal is going to cost about $2,000 in the team's time to do the work required to submit those proposals, and they'll win 3 of those 9. That's the typical conversion rate of their proposal. So that's $18,000 to win 3 proposals. That's pretty crummy in my book, and I don't want to spend time putting 9 proposals out to win 3. I'd rather have 5 conversations and convert 4 into a low-ticket product, which then leads to a higher-ticket recurring revenue package, which I'll talk about in a moment. So here's the game plan for adding another 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 grand in monthly recurring revenue. Here it is, step by step. The first thing is to choose the right offer for your recurring revenue, right? Recurring revenue is just a byproduct of you adding recurring value to your clients. The 3 types that we're seeing work really well are, number 1, by far and away, growth plans, which is ongoing strategy, consulting and implementation for clients. Performance-based services, SEO, PPC, content marketing, you have to be really good at that and you have to back yourself and know your numbers and know your clients really well. It works well if you're in a particular niche, if you're doing, you know, pay-per-click for health practitioners and you know the numbers. You have to be very, very good to do performance-based marketing. Very few people can do it well. But it works if you are really good at it and you know your numbers and you know your niche. And the other is care and optimization, right? So not just hosting, but ongoing improvements to a website, conversion rate optimization, just constantly helping the client improve. Kind of almost falls under a growth plan. Although the difference is with a growth plan is you can have a growth plan with a client and never build a website for them, right? Or never run their ads. You can just do strategy consulting. In fact, my sort of world these days is mostly coaching and strategy. So I'll help the client figure out what to do next, but I don't actually do anything for them. They do it themselves, or I refer them off to other partners that can run their ads, build their website, design their brand book, whatever they need done. My job is just to help them figure out what to do next, right? So they're the types of recurring revenue products that you can offer. And I call them products because you need to think about them as a product. You need to think every client that walks in the door, we're going to sell the same thing. These aren't bespoke, customized services for every client. It's not different for every client. It's the same thing. If I have a client that walks in the door and says to me, I want to pay you 10 grand a month to do the strategy consulting, plus I also want you to write all my copy and manage my website, I would say, sorry, not going to happen, right? I don't care how much you pay me. I'm not managing your website and I'm not managing your Google Analytics and I'm not doing your SEO for you. I don't do that. I do not do any done for you. That is my rule. That is the way I run my business and it's not negotiable. Here's what I do. Here's how much it is. Here's how it works. You either buy that or you don't. It's not up for negotiation. Okay, so that's the difference between a product and a service. So step two, once you've decided on the offer that's right for you based on what you enjoy doing, based on your skill set, and based on what the market will pay you for. So let me just give you a couple of examples. Email marketing for e-commerce stores. We've got an agency, very successful, multiple seven-figure a year agency based here in Australia. They do email marketing for e-commerce, right? Perfect. They're very good at it. They enjoy it. The market will pay them for it. You could do, if you are working with thought leaders and authors and course creators, you could do strategy and implementation of their sales and marketing and delivery. So if you're really good with learning management systems, you've got some deep knowledge of how to gamify learning management systems and set up great online course platforms, and you understand the marketing funnels and you understand how to run ads to sell online courses and you understand, you know, what the sales process looks like for coaches, you could just specialize in that, right? We are your business automation, you know, complete holistic 360 degree view business automation agency for course creators and coaches, right? If you specialize in health practitioners and you are really good at it and you really enjoy it and you love running ads and doing SEO and conversion rate optimization for health practitioners, maybe that's your niche, okay? Your niche, by the way, it doesn't necessarily have to be your target audience. Your niche is how you do what you do to serve the people that you serve. So my niche is, you know, 99% of my world is coaching digital agencies to grow their recurring revenue, build their team, and ultimately become more profitable. And we do that through one-on-one mentoring. Okay. Yes, we have some courses, but 99% of our focus is just onboarding clients into our mentoring programs and working with them one-on-one to help them grow their agency and free up their time and get out of the day-to-day and ultimately make more profit. That's our niche. Now, yes, our target audience is also digital agencies, but your target audience is not your niche, okay? Don't get confused by thinking, well, you know, everyone's saying niche down. Does that mean I just have to serve accountants? No, you could just serve growth-minded entrepreneurs or purpose-driven entrepreneurs or female entrepreneurs. That could be across a whole bunch of different industries. So your target audience and your niche are two separate things. I think we've written blog posts and made podcast episodes about this in the past. So just search through our platforms and our content, there are blog posts and materials that we've put together that clearly define the difference between your target audience and your niche. And we've got a great program called The Godfather Method, which clearly defines that. So I just don't want you to get hung up on thinking that you have to go after a particular vertical, like accountants or financial planners or, you know, doctors. That's not the case. So once you've decided on the offer, and here's the other thing I would urge you to do and invite you to do when you're thinking about what it is you're going to offer for recurring revenue is ask yourself, have a very honest conversation with yourself and ask yourself this question: can I get out of bed every day for the next 2 years to do this for these clients? Because the number one thing I see that prevents agencies from growing is their inability to manage their FOMO, right? Niching down works because what it does is it helps you become a specialist at what you do. And again, it doesn't mean that you have to just serve a particular industry. You could be a great conversion rate optimization specialist for any nonprofit that wants to attract more donors from their content, their social media, and their website, right? And those nonprofits could be environmental charities, they could be nonprofits in the drug and alcohol sector. They could work in domestic violence. They could work in helping emerging economies. It could be whatever. Like, there could be, you know, save the whales, right? Whatever. So it doesn't have to be a particular industry. It's a particular type of client that has a common set of needs. That's what your target audience is. And niching down allows you to become a specialist. And if you are a specialist, you get paid more because you have deep, deep knowledge of who that client is, what their problems are, and how to help them. Okay. Rather than being a general kind of web design or branding or SEO or paid ads workshop where you don't have a lot of deep knowledge about a particular type of client, you're a general kind of shop, you're going to get paid general fees. If you want to earn more for the work you're already doing, become a specialist. And again, I'm just going to reiterate this, and I'm sorry to harp on about it, but I think the word niche is completely misunderstood, that your niche is not the vertical industry that you operate in. That is your target audience. Your niche is how you help the clients you help and the outcome that you get for them. And it might just be like my private coaching clients, my niche is I do strategy coaching. I don't do any done for you. And I have a handful of private coaching clients in very different industries, right? One in education, one in marketing coaching, right? One who's a lawyer. I don't work in a particular industry, but my niche is I work with you on strategy coaching and help you figure out what to do next. And I have a very particular way of doing it, a very particular approach. So, and I'm a specialist and therefore I can charge specialist fees. Okay, step two is packaging and pricing for profit. So we've talked about this before, stop charging an hourly rate, charge for transformation, right? And I would encourage you to come up with three different pricing models, three different packages. So, you know, it's this much, or this much per month, and this is what you get. And I would encourage you that your top tier package should frighten the shit out of you. Right? Your top tier package should be something ridiculous that you've never charged before and that you don't really want to deliver. So for example, if you're thinking of charging, you know, $1,000, $2,000, and $3,000 a month, make the $3,000 a month, $10,000 a month, and ask yourself, what do I have to deliver for $10,000 a month for someone to happily pay me $10,000 a month? Knowing full well that you may never get a $10,000 a month client, but all of a sudden your $2,000 a month package looks very cheap and not very valuable. So maybe you end up with a $1,000, $5,000, and a $10,000 a month package versus a $1,000, $2,000, and $3,000 a month package. If you don't do the exercise and overcome the psychological barriers that you need to overcome to build a $10,000 a month package, you'll never have a $5,000 a month package, right? So build your ridiculous package, then have a package in the middle. The ridiculous package, by the way, is just there to sell more of the middle package, which is what you really want. And hopefully that middle package now is a lot more than you were going to charge. Because I guarantee, whatever you're charging now, you're undercharging. I guarantee it. You're undercharging. And also, the type of clients that you are targeting should have the capacity to get a return on investment for whatever they're paying you. So if they're paying $5,000 a month, make sure that your clients have the business model and the capacity to make at least five times what they're paying you. So you're paying me $5,000 a month, I can help you generate another $25,000 a month in revenue. If they don't have a business model to support that, you're dealing with the wrong client, okay? And a pro tip here is position whatever it is you're doing as a growth accelerator or a growth partnership or a strategy partnership, not an implementation or support package or retainer, okay? Because those things have a fixed number that your client will never pay more than, right? If you're, as I said before, you know, support, maintenance, retainer, implementation, clients are never going to pay more than a couple of $1,000 a month for that because they just can't get their head around it because that's what the market dictates. Because you can get all that stuff cheaper on Fiverr or freelancer.com or Upwork or whatever. So position it as a strategic partnership, a growth accelerator, or a growth partnership. Okay, here's the no-brainer pitch, okay? Clients will buy recurring revenue products from you and continue when they see continuous value. And so the paid discovery strategy that we use, that we teach all of our agencies, and it works in just about every market on the planet. It works in Australia, New Zealand. It works in the UK. It works in the Netherlands. It works in Malta. It works in the US. It works in Canada. It works in Thailand. It works in just about every market on the planet. and it works across whatever kind of agency you have. If you have a marketing agency, a digital marketing agency, a branding agency, a web design, web development, video marketing agency, a content marketing agency, a funnel hacking agency, whatever type of, you know, a speakers bureau, whatever type of agency you have, this model works. And what we've seen really well is selling a low ticket workshop on the front end to basically help the client design the strategy, and then selling higher ticket recurring revenue packages on the back end to help the client implement the strategy you come up with during the workshop. Okay. And I'm going to give you three sentences here that you can write down and use. When a client says, well, can't we just do a one-time project? That's like saying, can I just go to the gym once and be in shape forever? No, you can't, right? It's an ongoing thing. It requires constant maintenance and tweaking and optimization, okay? You can just do a one-time project, but what happens in 3 months when your competitors launch a new website and start outranking you or start running better ads or start producing better content? You're going to come back to me then for another one-time project? You're going to pay me 15 grand now and then 15 grand in 3 months to redo it? Doesn't make sense. So it's just a decision, right? And you might not be there yet, but I promise you over time, once you get your confidence up, it is just a decision that this is how we work. We put everyone through a strategic workshop to come up with a strategy, and then we put all of our clients onto these monthly packages where we help implement and we continue to refine the strategy and we continue to move you closer to your goals, okay? So one-time projects, just a thing of the past. The other two sentences I'll give you is if someone's umming and ahhing, and remember, you're typically selling these strategic workshops a lot cheaper than you'd be selling a ongoing retainer or a web design project. If you're currently selling web design project for 15 grand or a 4 month retainer for 15 grand, hey, so we're, you know, going to start running your ads and it's 15 grand for the first 4 months and then it's 3 grand a month after that. Well, I'm suggesting that you sell a workshop for maybe 1500 or 3 grand up front. Okay. It's a lot cheaper. It's a lot less risk. And if a client's umming and ahhing about it and they're not sure, there's a couple of what I call risk reversal strategies that you can employ to get them over the line. The first is to say, okay, I understand you haven't done this before. You might be a bit skeptical. We're so confident in the process that if we go through this process and you decide to end up hiring us to help you implement the strategy that we come up with, we'll credit your investment in this workshop towards our first month of working with us. There's a couple of things you've just done there. You've pre-framed the fact that you work on a monthly recurring basis, and you've also taken the risk away from them so they can't lose, right? Now, if you, the ultimate no-brainer here, if you've never done paid discovery before, and you've, you know, got a client who's kind of half interested, but you just need to get them over the line, the ultimate no-brainer is to say, we are so confident in this process that if at the end of it, you think it's been a waste of time, we will refund your money and we will let you keep the strategy that we come up with. We can't be any fairer than that. Now, we've never had any agency come back to us and say that clients ask for a refund, because only a schmuck would do that, right? And if they do that, give them the strategy and cut your losses because you don't want them as a client. Because the process of helping them design the strategy is so valuable. They will have so much clarity and so much confidence at the end of it that they're not going to ask for a refund, okay? Now, step four is start with clients who already see the value in what it is you do. So start with clients that have already paid for your services, okay? Start with clients that have already hired you to do something. And I would start with the top clients that you have, you know, your top 20% clients that have spent the most with you over the time that you've been in business, and go to them and approach them to put together a strategy workshop and get them onto a growth plan, okay? And maybe you just say, look, we're going to do a strategy workshop and then we're going to put you on a recurring package for the next 3 months and we'll reassess after 90 days. And as long as you're delivering value and as long as they're getting a return on their investment, they're going to continue, okay? And then you can also create what we call a great migration plan, which is to move clients from, you know, if you've got clients on small hosting or web design maintenance plans or a small maintenance plan, put together a great migration plan to get them into larger growth plans. And really the first step in that is to run a strategy workshop with them and to highlight all of the gaps between where they are and where they want to be, and then position you and your agency as the vehicle that's going to help them bridge that gap. One agency we work with had 10 had a bunch of clients on smaller retainers and smaller hosting packages, and has converted 10 of them into, has converted four of their top 10 past clients into a $2,500 a month growth plan. So that's, you know, an extra $10,000 a month in recurring revenue. And they did that in a couple of weeks. So this is not, we're not asking you to put a man on the moon. We're just asking you to have a conversation with your existing clients to work out a strategy for the next 12 months. You know, the great question I like asking clients is, what's the plan for the next 12 months? They don't have one. They don't have a plan for the next 12 months. They're winging it. Right, just like most of you listening to this, I would imagine, and I say that respectfully, but most business owners are just winging it. Most don't have a plan. You can help them work out a plan for the next 12 months. They'll think you're Father Christmas. The last sort of piece of this puzzle is to work out what you need to automate and what you need to process into standard operating procedures and delegate to your team so that you can scale this profitably. Because the last thing you want to do is sell a whole bunch of growth plans and then drown in work and let things fall through the gaps, and so that your clients aren't getting great results, because then they won't be referring to you and they won't have a great experience, right? And so your team, getting your team to write SOPs and to build automations, is the last piece of this, which will allow you to scale it and actually do it profitably. All right, so just to recap, the roadmap to grow your recurring revenue is to choose one offer that you can package up as a recurring revenue offer, right? If you are, and by the way, whatever you're doing, whatever services you're currently offering, the easiest way to do this is just to add strategy consulting to what you're doing and sell that as the one recurring offer, right? So you might be, too nervous at the moment to let go of your maintenance plans or your hosting plans or your ad retainers or your SEO retainers. That's fine. Keep them in your back pocket, but just add strategy consulting or strategic advice or strategic coaching as a new offer. And that's the thing that we're going to sell for $3,000, $5,000, or $7,000 a month, right? And plus, you still get access to my team to do with implementation. Price it based on value, not hours. Pitch it to your existing clients first. Use the paid discovery method to transition your existing clients into a strategic workshop, help them design the strategy, and then put them onto a growth plan. And build systems, automations, and SOPs so that you can scale this, keep it profitable without getting overwhelmed and without burning out. All right, speaking of systems, we've kind of already built most of this out for you. Of course, we have a couple of programs. We have the paid discovery method and we have the growth plan method. And we also have one-on-one mentoring here at Agency Maverick. So if you'd like to access our entire catalog of sales scripts, templates, and training to help you introduce growth plans into your agency and transition your clients and grow your recurring revenue, click the link near this description to chat with our team, and we'll see if you're a good fit, if we can work together. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the new format here. Very excited to announce that in a couple of weeks, we'll be bringing in a co-host for a season of the Agency Hour. I'm not going to announce who it is just yet. He's very well loved and very familiar here at Agency Mavericks, and he'll be joining us, I think, in a couple of weeks' time for a season of the Agency Hour. So we're very excited about that. Hey, I'm Troy Dean. And remember, people used to answer the phone by saying ahoy instead of hello. I'm Troy Dean. Let's get to work.